of an alternative, really. So to carry on that theme, Roger's now going to speak for about 10 minutes. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks very much, Graham. And I'd like to also thank Mark, who's president of the Newcastle TEC, for coming to speak to us about the Workers' Plan, which is brilliant, because, as he said, it can teach us so much about the arms diversification plans that the workers put into place themselves in 1975. I'd also like to mention I'm vice chair of the vice president of the South Tyneside Trade Union Council, who also agreed to take part to support this. I look forward to working with Martin and the Newcastle Trade Union Council in the further work of furthering this agenda. And I think it's really important that the trades councils are putting their feet forward on this issue right now, which is so vital. The talk I was just going to talk about was that Britain is today and yesterday is war's workshop of the world. And there's a lot of discussion going on about the British economy in many places, but I was looking at a discussion on social media about the collapse of the car industry in Britain, and it will lose about 800,000 jobs if that collapse takes place, mainly because it's refused to develop the electric car industry and the battery technology. I won't go into that, but it is well documented that all of these car industries in Britain now are foreign owned in the main, except for the specialised ones. So many of those are shifting their production elsewhere, particularly with electric cars. It was also pointed out in these discussions, which is that Britain's economy is dominated by financial services, finance capital, the London Stock Exchange, the huge exploitation of human resources abroad by British and US investment. And this so-called flagship of British economy, which has been sort of the mark since Thatcherism, is being closed off now, especially since Brexit, as a lot of this financial activity is moving to other cities in Europe and so on. But what was missing from the discussion, and you can see this almost anywhere where the economy is talked about, is that the British economy, besides finance, is dominated by war production industries, which are owned by British and US companies. And the government has a golden share in most of these British companies. So no golden share in the car industry, of course, or other social production, and certainly not in public services. So the economy they're concerned about tells you a lot about what the mindset is the ruling elite behind the government. And it's awful to have to think this, but my thoughts are that this reveals that they hope that war in the world will get them out of this crisis of the British economy. And it's very much mirrors the same thinking that preceded World War I, when there was a lot going on in the country, a huge crisis, and a lot of activities in the working class. And as you know, World War I was primarily by the interests of Britain and France in the secret treaty. Anyway, they seem to be the most ardent in Europe in pushing arms sales, as they have done the Saudis against Yemen. They're escalating conflicts in the world in many places, but particularly, as you know, in Ukraine. And this is confronting us as a movement for peace. The golden share companies are BA Systems, PLC, Rolls-Royce Holdings, as well as some dockyard assets of Babcock International. There may be others, but those are the ones I know of. And with the latter, you may remember the provocation against Russia on HMS Defender in June 2021, before the Ukraine war started. They sent HMS Defender into the Black Sea, and it went into Crimean waters and provoked a conflict situation with Russia then. But what people probably don't know is that on that same warship, they sign in Odessa, they sign on June 22nd, an agreement to supply warships to Ukraine. And the deal said that Britain will also assist building naval bases around the Sea of Azov on the other side of the Russian Crimea-Sevastopol area, with Babcock International, which is a British marine nuclear land and aviation arms manufacturer, as the prime industrial partner. And as I've said, they're one of these golden share companies of the government. So today Britain has become the world's primary designer and exporter of the machines of war, and has been described by many others besides us as the war's workshop, second or third only to the United States as an exporter of armament systems. And BAE Systems PLC is the flagship of Britain's militarised economy and exporter of weapons. It is the biggest manufacturer in Britain. It has a multinational defence, cyber security and aerospace company that employs 90,000 people in 40 countries, with approximately 36,000 employees based at around 50 sites in the UK. Its profits are huge, especially over the recent period. Underlying operating profits in 2022 came to £2.5 billion, up 12.5% on 2021. As top line sales grew by 4.4%, with a turnover now of £23 billion. It is also the reason, Martin's touched on this, that the northwest of England is the region with the highest manufacturing output, according to the Office of National Statistics. For example, it's where BAE Systems employs 10,000, as you mentioned, in the manufacturing of the new Dreadnought, Astute Nuclear Submarines and Baron Furnace. With the Dreadnought, that's likely to, as I said, go up to 13,000. BAE Systems at Preston, Sainsbury Wharton sites, also employs some 10,000 who are involved in making parts of the final assembly of the Typhoon fighter. And besides serving the Ministry of Defence, it exports weapons to principal markets in the US, Saudi Arabia, Australia, and by itself, as I said, is the second or third largest exporter of weapons. There's also a lot of other places in the country. According to, in 2009, a student campaigning organisation, which I don't think is active very since that time, but they reported about £6 million in arms spending that was the university had investments in such companies as BAE Systems, Cobham, Rolls-Royce and Smiths Group. So it's apparent that all sorts of production, research and development and other kinds of economic activity are engaged in areas that either are directly for military ends or are using potential military applications in their marketing strategies. And a significant proportion of production is geared towards and influenced by military aims through a myriad of direct and indirect companies. And as Martin mentioned last week, there was a rooftop demonstration against Pearson Engineering, which is in the former BA Vickers tank factory, and they make armoured cars. And as I said, Rafael is an Israeli state company, but the interesting thing for me about that was that a government golden share means that no foreign person or persons can own more than 50% of the golden share companies, the British aerospace industry. But when it comes to Israeli state, this rule is broken, as they now own Pearson's completely. Manufacturing for the social economy has continued to be sold off and downgraded, and as public services are continued to be wrecked and privatised at a rapid rate, even sold off to foreign corporations. So the discussion about the alternative is really important to war production. So I think the first thing from the facts is that Britain's defence industry is not about defence, and something I mentioned this morning. Britain's war economy has never been about defence, but as was said, about world domination or world hegemonism. Since Thatcher and Blair times, it's become the world's workshop yet again. Secondly, the consequences of this makes Britain's economy geared to the vested interests of warfare and cyber warfare and so on. And now there are fewer MPs that will speak out, if any, against the completely war-driven economy that's been created. And of course there's no political opposition in the Parliament itself. Thirdly, the war industries do not provide what people need. Martin was discussing, it does not add value to the lives of people in Britain, or indeed it does not add value to the lives of people the world over. What it brings up is only the working class and people can save the day. It's very much down to the majority to rebuild the peace movement, and particularly dealing with our own pro-war government and the war economy. And also dealing with, as was discussed this morning, our membership of NATO and the role that Britain is playing in escalating wars within NATO and the world. So we need a political economy that is anti-war, and we need it to be pro-social. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Roger.